Hello everybody, welcome and kumustan. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a discussion about some of the treatments and some of the interventions that you can be using with some of your patients. As you see, when it comes to occupational therapy and the occupational therapy intervention, there is a wide gap in terms of labeling your intervention. Because most of the time, it is a direct ADL retraining or washing and dressing practice. Sometimes I encounter people saying their treatment would be functional. You know, just functional what? Functional retraining. That's one of those things. But there are some interventions that involve teaching a patient or addressing performance components, particularly in sensation. So you can consider addressing the epicritic sensory subsystem. So if you don't know much about that, there's two types. There's protopathic, there is epicritic subsystem. So you can label your intervention by saying it epicritic system facilitation or epicritic system stimulation. Epicritic system facilitation and stimulation refers to an intervention or therapeutic techniques that are aimed at activating or enhancing the epicritic sensory system, which is responsible for touch sensation, vibration, texture, discrimination, and proprioception, and the sense of proprioception is the body position, or kinesthesia as well. So epicritic subsystem. If your intervention is focused on these things, fine touch, vibration, texture, discrimination, then you can call that this epicritic system facilitation. Or you can move away from sensory retraining. You can label it as epicritic system facilitation. So this system is relying on specialized nerve endings, and it relies on specialized pathways as well in the central nervous system to produce the precise sensory information. The objectives of epicritic system facilitation is, number one, is to enhance sensory processing. And you want the patient to improve their ability to detect and respond to fine tactile stimuli, such as light touch and texture differences as well. You want patients to improve on their proprioception, and you want to support their awareness of the body position and their movement in space. Another goal would be to restore the sensory function of the patient, because you will be addressing the deficits that are caused by neurological injuries and conditions. The other thing is you want to support the motor control of the patients as well. And with this, it just meant that you are facilitating an accurate, coordinated movement by refining the sensory feedback. So what does this epicritic system does? What does it do? In terms of function, what it does is that it detects fine touch and it detects vibration, and it differentiates texture as well and the pressure intensities. So for example, when somebody is holding a cup, a glass is different and the body is sensing that feeling. So it's just applying the right amount of pressure to hold the glass, so not grasping it. Equally, if you change the glass and change it into a cup of water, the epicritic system will gauge how much pressure the person would put into that cup so that it doesn't crush it. Yeah. And obviously, when there's more water in it, there's a slight adjustment to the grip. And if there's no water, then it's much more lighter as well. So this is very sensitive, yeah? So that would be the function. When it comes to the epicritic systems, there are receptors. There are different receptors that are involved in the epicritic subsystem. And this can be number one with the Meissner's corpuscles, and these are responsible for fine touch and texture discrimination. You would have the Pacinian corpuscles. I don't know how to pronounce that really. And this would be more on the vibration sensation. You can have Merkel cells, which would identify the pressure and the shape and the detection of such as well. And then you also have the Ruffini endings, and this will identify the skin stretch and the sustained pressure. It's amazing, isn't it? So for such a small function of sensation, there are different sensors in our body. Remember that. Isn't that amazing? You have the Meissner's corpuscles, and I understand that to be the pleasure as well, the pleasure sensation, and it's very abundant on the ears, on the lips, on the genitalia. That's why if you have sores, like mouth sores, for example, it gets extra painful when you get injured on that area. So there's extra around the face that there's so much of these things. So you have the Meissner's corpuscles, Pacinian corpuscles, you have the Merkel cells, and then the Ruffini. Beautiful things. Now, let's talk about the pathway for this. When it comes to the epicritic subsystem, why it's important is that it follows a different pathway. And in terms of the details of that, perhaps we'll have time to have some podcast about that. But these are all basic. It hasn't changed since man evolved. It's always the same. We haven't mutated yet, so it's the same pathway. So the information from the epicritic system is transmitted through the dorsal column of the spinal cord, and it goes via the medial lemniscus pathway as well, all the way to the brain, and that is where the sensory processing, when it comes to sensory and perceptual processing, is happening, particularly on the area 312, on the cerebral hemisphere. Yeah, so there you go. This is different from the protopathic subsystem, which is the protective one, which is light, touch, pain, and temperature, because they are on a different pathway. All of these, the epicritic subsystem is following a different route in the spinal cord. Yeah, so that's that. Now, who benefits then from this epicritic system stimulation? So if you're doing some of your patients, just remember those people who had a stroke, yes, they will have problems on this side. So what you want to do for them is you want to restore the tactile proprioceptive sensations in the affected limbs as well. You want to use this with people who's had neurological conditions like multiple sclerosis. This is applicable for them. Those who have spinal cord injury conditions, those who has peripheral neuropathy as well. Okay, so that's applicable for them. A treatment approach, you can use this to children with developmental delays, and this will enhance their sensory integration and their fine motor skills. You can use this with an elderly individual, elderly population, to maintain their position sense, proprioception, because this proprioception and position sense would improve their balance and it would reduce their falls as well. And for those people who has a post-injury, who's had injury and it's post-injury, then you can use these things as well. So this is for individuals who's recovering from injuries that will impair their sensory input, particularly fractures. So yeah, it's around for as long as movement is involved and you want to refine movement, then the epicritic system is the one that you need to address. And rather than balance retraining, rather than sensory retraining, you can label it such as epicritic system facilitation and retraining. Now let's talk about some of the techniques for epicritic stimulation. So what can you do? What are some of the techniques? Very easy. Tactile stimulation is one of them. What you can do is you can use materials, varying materials with varying textures. Go from get the person to feel the silk or the sandpaper to stimulate those touch receptors. So that's one. An example of this would be stroking the skin with different textures just so you can improve that texture discrimination. That's one of them. Vibration therapy. So you can apply gentle vibration on the skin or the muscles. You can do this in critical care as well with some of any handheld device. And you can get the person to even discriminate. Is this more vibration? Can you feel more vibration? Is this less? Because you're identifying some discrimination in there. So you're facilitating discrimination. You can use vibrating wand. There are some vibrating wands out there, and it will stimulate nerves, hands, or feet as well. So you can go and choose this activity with some of your patients. The other technique or some of the things that you can use would be proprioceptive training. That's another term that you can use, proprioceptive training. And this involves activities that will require the awareness of the body position in space. So get their eyes to close, move the fingers. Is this up? Is it down? Is it forward? Is it back? Things like that. An example of this as well with proprioceptive. So you have gross proprioception. So you can have balance exercises on uneven surfaces so that the person will get some proprioceptive feedback. The other technique here is the use of fine motor activities as well. Some tasks that are that will require precise touch, such as picking up small objects and manipulating the beads, for example. So there are some Purdue pegboard as an assessment tool or as Moberg pickup test, things like that. You can get them to sort items by either by texture or by weight or by shape, by feeling, through feeling. So that's that. Another one would be manual therapy. And manual therapy meant that you will have to apply gentle pressure. You would be doing some stretching on the limbs, or you can mobilize the skin, gentle mobilization on the skin and soft tissues. Again, this is to stimulate the sensory pathways as well. So you can use temperature as well. So temperature discrimination and exercises. What is this? This meant that you can do alternating between warm, providing alternating warm and cold stimuli so that you can refine the temperature detection as well. An example of this is like you're using a warm compress and then lukewarm and then a little bit cold and get the person to engage. Now, when you're doing the epicritic system retraining, you need to have a bit of a cognition and cognitive awareness. So with this is almost early stages of cognitive retraining. You can use this in critical care for those people who are recovering, for those people who are delirious, for example, and you want to stimulate their engagement and participation. So that meant that it is a cognitive retraining. Some of the activities that you can do with epicritic stimulation, you can have texture exploration. So identify different textures, sort it out, categorize these temperature sensations, for example. You can have balance and coordination tasks. You can do hand dexterity training. Like I said, you can have light touch practice as well. When it comes to benefits for our patients, what benefits does it do? It will help to restore the sensory awareness of the person, especially if the nerves, the pathway, the neural network, and the brain, they're all intact. So it will increase their awareness. So that's good. And it will restore sensory awareness. It's much more challenging if the sensors are impaired, like for example, a severe burn, for example, that's much more difficult to do because the sensors are not there. So the hand is definitely going to be numb. Or if the person has had a severe stroke, for example, that there is nothing in the brain that will interpret the sensory stimulation. But what it does is that it facilitates the neuroplasticity and other parts of the brain will take over. It will, in terms of benefits, it will enhance the proprioception and the position sense of the person. It will improve their motor control as well. Okay. Another one is that there's going to be a reduction in sensory deficits. So again, to improve sensory deficits, you can look at it the other way around. You can just say to improve or to reduce sensory deficit. And there would be a better integration with movement, which meant it will improve coordination. Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about precautions. So what are the things that you need to be mindful of when you are using these treatment approach? One, you got to be gentle. Be mindful that if you're doing this, analyze. Avoid overstimulation. Yeah, just do some, start with gentle application of the sensory input that you would provide. Avoid overstimulation because this can provide discomfort and adverse reactions. For example, imagine that you're getting the person to hold something vibrating. You give it something too strong of a vibration, it will just actually get the person scared. It can get them jolting, for example, especially if you put it on specific areas around the back or on the muscles, almost like common sense. Tailor your intervention. The techniques should match their person's sensory abilities as well and their goals. If there's no issue and then you give this, patients will just laugh at you and say, what are you doing? So it's got to be a match between the person and the task and the demand. And then you have to be mindful that you can progress the sensory input, the gradation of sensory facilitation. So you can gradually progress it. So start with simple stimuli, and then you need to increase the complexity as the sensitivity of the person improves. Okay. The next thing would be monitor for any overload. Yeah. Particularly with individuals who has problems with sensory processing disorders or they are hypersensitive, those under sensory integration, they can get sensory overload. And so you have to be mindful of this. Okay, so there you go, guys. Thank you for listening. Just remember, so epicritic system facilitation, this is very important. And it is one important aspect of sensory rehabilitation. It is a part of sensory rehabilitation, and it will help the individuals regain or improve and enhance their fine motor skills, their position sense. It is a very important in terms of restoring the function of an individual. It will improve their quality of life, and it is one of those that is in the adjunctive phase of therapy. So when it is adjunctive, you can almost use it to stimulate the mind. So it's almost called like sensory perceptual retraining or cognitive perceptual retraining. Okay, just call it as such, epicritic system facilitation. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this talk. If you did, talk to your friends about it. Have this conversation. Okay, you can like, you can share, you can subscribe, whatever it is that will appease the algorithm, really. But at the end of the day, it's just me reaching out to you, hoping that you be a better clinician, hoping that you be able to identify and label the things that you do. Because at the end of the day, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, guys. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast, talk to your friends and colleagues about it. Like it, subscribe, share, and do what you can to appease whatever algorithm that is at play. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye!